When the trials you face turn into your darkest night, and you're hoping in some way the darkness will turn to light, and you feel all alone, and no one is there. I was so lost, I just couldn't see him. There were moments I felt my heart would just give in. But when you're through trying and there's nothing left to do, never fear, my God is holding you.
That was a blessing. Amen. Wonderful tonight. All right. Very good. And everything, who knows, everything may be shifting in the years to come. And we want to remember that good song, more than just a song, a real truth. I want to show you two videos tonight. Church, you know this is not the rule around here. We don't do a lot of videos. But I do believe we're in a critical place in our nation. We showed one video this morning. However, there were several people working across the way and helping out in Sunday schools. And I heard from two or three of them this afternoon, would it be possible to show it tonight? So it will be redundant for those of you that were in the morning service. The second video is Vice President candidate Mike Pence, who was the former governor of Indiana. I believe it's a good video. I believe you'll enjoy it. And then I'll come after these are over, and we'll play them back to back. There'll be just a couple of minutes or maybe a minute of silence in between the two videos. We'll watch them back to back, probably 10 minutes total in length. And then I'll finish it up tonight with just a few words from the Lord, okay?
In the 2016 presidential election, America is standing at the crossroads. What our generation does in the upcoming weeks will forever determine the direction of our nation and the future of the precious freedoms we hold dear. I am greatly disturbed by both candidates running for president, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Both of them are flawed. The crude comments made by Donald Trump more than 11 years ago cannot be defended. They are revolting, a disgrace to the American people, something I would never want my children to hear. But the godless, progressive agenda of Hillary Clinton is even more alarming and appalling, something I would never want my children to experience. Like never before, we are faced with two vulgar candidates. But I do recognize that they represent two very different visions for America because of the parties they represent. On the one side, the Republican platform stands for the sanctity of human life, marriage between one man and one woman, the separation of the state from the church as our founding fathers originally intended, capitalism and philanthropy, a hard work ethic, and a number of other key issues. But on the other side, the Democratic platform is saturated with a liberal, godless agenda that is all about bondage and control. It calls for society to openly embrace abortion, which is nothing more than the barbaric murdering of unborn babies, to embrace abortion as a way of life. It cries out for LGBT equality to the extreme of silencing anyone who stands in their way and views homosexual unions as wrong. It claims to be for the people, but in reality, it seeks to force upon us a political and economic system that is contrary to what our founding fathers designed for this country. Ultimately, as Christians, we must come to grips with the fact that one platform will permit our faith, while the other will one day seek to persecute it. In this dark hour, we cannot afford to back down from our God-given responsibility to remain engaged in politics. Countless people throughout history have never been able to vote for a president, as we are privileged to do. In 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verses 1 to 4, implies that we should vote for the platform that will allow born-again Christians to live and preach the gospel both publicly and privately. The liberal agendas that are clawing for control in our country will be catastrophic for those who desire to, and I quote, lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Now, there is no doubt that the scandals surrounding Trump and Hillary are making big news before this presidential election. But either Trump or Hillary is going to appoint the next Supreme Court justices. Who they appoint to the Supreme Court will literally either preserve or remake the fabric of our society for our children and grandchildren in the generations to come. But many conservatives are deciding to vote third party, even though they know they can't win anything with it. And to them I say, you have the freedom to choose, for now. And that is entirely between you and God. But one day when your children ask how America became a police state or was overrun with socialistic tyranny, you tell them the truth. Tell them that your third-party vote in this critical hour helped enable Hillary Clinton to gain access to the Oval Office and appoint liberals to the Supreme Court, who subsequently erased the First, Second, Fourth, Fifth, and Tenth Amendments through judicial activism. I, for one, refuse. I refuse to stand idly by and allow this to happen. I will fight for my freedom. I will fight for my family. I will fight for my children's future. And this was the heart of our founding fathers. On July 6, 1775, the First Continental Congress declared these words: "We have counted the cost of this contest and find nothing so dreadful as voluntary slavery. Honor, justice, and humanity forbid us tamely to surrender that freedom which we receive from our gallant ancestors, and which our innocent posterity have a right to receive from us. We cannot endure the infamy and guilt of resigning succeeding generations to that wretchedness which inevitably awaits them if we basely entail hereditary bondage upon them." Let's get real, folks. Our nation is politically, spiritually, morally, and financially standing at the crossroads. Our many sins have led us to the point where we're at today. The only hope for America is the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we must vote for the candidate who has the greater potential of protecting our Christian liberties and will allow the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to freely go forward.
Greetings, I'm Governor Mike Pence. You know, it's my honor this year to serve as the Republican nominee for Vice President of the United States with my running mate, Donald Trump. I'm grateful to be able to join you, if only by videotape, but I'm not sure how they introduce me. The introduction I prefer is pretty short. I'm a Christian, a conservative, and a Republican in that order. And really, it's as a fellow believer that I'm particularly honored to be able to address you today. I know every one of us has our own story about how we came to faith. For me, I was raised in a family where faith was important. Church on Sunday, grace before dinner. But my faith became my own when I made a personal decision to trust Jesus Christ during the spring of my freshman year in college. That night, my heart was literally broken wide, with gratitude and with joy, when I came to realize that what happened on the cross, in some small measure, actually happened for me. And I know all of you in the room share that same passion and that same sense of gratitude for what was done on our behalf. Years later, my faith has been tested, relied on more times than I could possibly count. All I know for sure today is I need him more than ever. And he's really the center of my life and the center of my family's life. You know, God's love really eclipses our failings. And as always, he's been a source of renewal and strengthening for this nation and for people of faith throughout our history. In these troubled times, I believe we stand at a turning point. When those who cherish faith, those who cherish freedom, those who cherish the sanctity of life and all the liberties enshrined in our Constitution should step forward and heed the call to action. I joined Donald Trump on the Republican ticket because I believe he has the right leadership and the right vision to make America great again. President Donald Trump will appoint justices to the Supreme Court who will uphold our Constitution and the rights of the unborn. Donald Trump will also sign into law legislation that will free up the voices of faith all across this country by repealing what's come to be known as the Johnson Amendment. The Johnson Amendment's literally been on the books since the 1950s, and it essentially threatens tax-exempt organizations and churches with losing their tax status if they speak out on important issues facing the nation from the pulpit. Donald Trump and I are both committed to work with renewed Republican majorities in the House and the Senate to repeal the Johnson Amendment once and for all. You know, the truth is that a careful study of American history has shown that the strength of our nation has come from our communities of faith. Throughout our history, it's been the voices of faith that more often than not have driven our nation to a more perfect union. It was the pulpits around the American founding that thundered against the tyranny of King George. It was the pulpits around America that spoke of the evils of slavery and brought an end to the scourge of slavery in America, even through a great civil conflict. And it was voices of faith and communities of faith that transformed our nation through the civil rights movement in our own lifetime, and we're a better nation for it. The choice today for all of us, though, could not be more clear. I've never seen a more dramatic choice in a national election in my lifetime. I truly do believe we're come to a time for choosing. And I think it's a time in the life of our nation when people who cherish life, when people who cherish our liberties, when people who cherish the great traditions that are enshrined in our Constitution should come together and support Donald Trump and our agenda to make America great again. In these troubled times at home and abroad, challenging times for American families, I'd like to encourage you to do one more thing, and that is to bow the head and bend the knee in the days that remain in this election. Pray for our country. But as you do so, please pray as Lincoln said was his prayer. Not so much that God would be on our side, but that we would be, in his words, on God's side. Because I truly do believe in my heart of hearts that what's been true for millennia is still true today. That if his people, who are called by his name, will humble themselves and pray, he'll again do as he's always done throughout the storied history of this nation. He'll hear from heaven, and he'll heal our land. This one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to address you today. May God bless you, your families, this community of faith, your church, and may God continue to bless the United States of America.
All right, Brother Scott, thank you. Open your Bible to Romans 8. quickly now. I just got a few comments tonight. Romans chapter 8. The voter guide we gave you this morning was not the right voter guide. And so we have a new copy for you tonight. We'll get that to you in just a little bit. By the way, somebody had asked, a couple people had asked about the possibility of getting those two clips. If you are on our email list, both of those clips have been sent out to you this afternoon. So if you want to share them with friends or relatives or coworkers or whatever, you'll have those on your email, both of the clips that you saw tonight. If you don't want them, delete them and get rid of them, that's fine. But several of you, two or three of you, I'll say that, had asked about having those. So we sent those out this afternoon. We've said it, it's been said all day. I don't have to say it. You know it. Tuesday's a big day for the future of our country. If Hillary Clinton is elected, we could be on the verge of really losing some of our religious liberties, as I said this morning. They are going to push, listen, they are pushing this LGBT agenda. It is their, it is one of their things that they're going to do, and they're going to mandate it in every level of our society. And folks, I can't go there. I cannot go there. I will not go there. And so it very well could, who knows what would happen. I mentioned this morning, Brother Eric Porterfield, missionary that we support to the South Sudan. He's back and forth from West Virginia to South Sudan. He had all of his firearms confiscated. Thank you. Confiscated November 1. That was what, Tuesday morning? There was an OBGYN doctor in their area that they had used, he and his wife. And it was a lady doctor, and even though she said she was personally pro-life, she said that she felt like pro-choice was the right approach for our country. And she posted a Facebook blog about being pro-choice, which is just for abortion, for murder. And he went on his Facebook, and he answered her post. And he sent her a letter explaining that he was going to do it, saying, you know, you've got a lot of influence over people, and I'm going to put my post out there in response to your post, because I don't want people voting for abortion. I think it's wrong. And some agents, he did that, and he got tons of hateful messages in response to his post, tons of them. And then on this past Tuesday, November 1st, two agents showed up at his door and said they had some kind of an order signed by the police department there or somebody in the sheriff's county, the county sheriff's department, and they were there to confiscate all of their weapons. They confiscated his weapons, his wife's gun, took them all away. Now he's going to have to go to court. And I sent that email to another man who has preached in this pulpit, doesn't live in this state, lives somewhere else. He wrote back and said, I don't know this brother, but it does not surprise me, because I was at my cancer doctor this week and we got to talking about the condition of our country after the appointment. He told me that he was under tremendous pressure by the Obamacare directives, administrators and directives, to ask if among his patients if they were possessors of firearms. That's showing up on questionnaires in doctors' offices now, along with, have you ever had the measles? Have you ever had a surgery? Have you ever had this? Do you own any firearms? It is absolutely out of order on those type questions, out of order. I would never answer that. I would never answer it. And she is committed. She is committed to overturning the Second Amendment. She said as much, that she's committed to overturning the Second Amendment. We could lose some of our First Amendment rights about free speech, again, all because the LGBT crowd has her support. Obama says to vote for her so that we can, quote, keep all the things that we have worked hard for. Obamacare, which is about to drive everybody in this nation to financial bankruptcy. And then also, of course, the last picture that they showed on that video was a picture of the White House with the, like you saw tonight, with the rainbow colors, which is, to me, the lowest moment in our nation's history. Absolutely, without a doubt. I don't know. I cannot speak authoritatively about the WikiLeaks emails. I'm sure some of you are far more up to snuff on that. I hate to use that term, I guess, but up to, you know what I'm saying, okay? You're far more up to date on that than I am. I will just say this. I don't think that you and I are being told all that's in those things. I received something from a brother this week that talked about John Podesta's brother, Tony. Tony Podesta, John Podesta, Lady Gaga, the rap musician Jay-Z, who just performed at a Hillary Clinton concert, dropped all kinds of profanity-laced lyrics. It's amazing to me, this crowd that's accused Trump of being, abusive to women, will have a guy in like that whose lyrics literally degrade women to a piece of trash. And your president had a thing in the White House where he had rap music and made the comment, this is not your normal John Sousa Phillips making light of one of the most outstanding musicians, as far as you, that is the, what is that song called that he's so popular for? Stars and Stripes Forever. And made fun of patriotic music that our country has enjoyed for years, and played rap music. Folks, that's the dirtiest, nastiest stuff you ever listened to. It's just horrid. It's horrid. And had it in the White House. But Tony Podesta to John Podesta to Lady Gaga to the rapper Jay-Z, one of the highest ranking witches in the entertainment industry, all talking about having these meetings where they literally, it was like a seance, attached to the occult and witchcraft. Would not surprise me in the least. Would not surprise me in the least if it's true. All right? So I'm just saying, I told one of my son-in-laws this, I feel bad, I have no compassion for these people. I have no compassion for Barack Obama. I have no compassion for Hillary Clinton. I have no compassion for him whatsoever. I guess that's wrong. I'm just being transparent with you. I have no compassion for them. I have to guard my heart from hating them. Because I feel like they're destroying the country we've enjoyed. I just feel like it. It's in my heart. You shouldn't be like that. But that's, I'm just trying to be transparent with you. I have no compassion for them whatsoever. If Hillary is elected, we may see some tough times, but this is Youth Emphasis Day. And I want to remind everybody here, but especially the youth in this room tonight, that nothing, according to God's Word, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing. And I'm not talking about a syrupy, warm and fuzzy feeling. I'm talking about a strong, secure love that even if the candidate is elected to office on Tuesday, and folks, it's going to take the act of God to overcome the cheating, the fraud, and all that goes. It's going to take an act of God to do that. And but if it goes the other direction, I'm talking about a strong, secure knowledge that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. You look at verse number 35 of Romans chapter 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, I want you to notice these things that God mentions here. And more than what He mentions, I want you to notice how many He mentions. What shall separate us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? How many things were mentioned there? Seven. Seven is the number of what? Completion. No matter what is thrown at us, the full measure of completion that may be thrown against us, none of it can separate us from the love of Christ. Not a bit of it. Look at verse number 38, where the Bible says, Paul preaching, saying here, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I love what he says there. Nothing separates us from God's love. Nothing. Death doesn't separate us from God's love, folks. Death ushers us right into his very presence. Life, nothing in this life can separate us from God's love. Angels don't separate us from God's love. They are the ministers. They are ministers to the heirs of salvation. Angels are ministering spirits to help us. They don't separate us from the love of God. They help us. Principalities and powers, they can't separate us from the love of God. God has given us armor to protect us. And as Lila talked about in her talk tonight, authority to protect us. Things present cannot separate us from the love of God, because God is the I Am who eternally dwells in the present, and is never changing. Things present cannot separate us from His love. Things to come cannot separate us from God's love, because God is already in our tomorrows. Nor height, nor depth, because Jesus has already ascended to the highest height. He has already descended to the deepest depth. He's already been both places. Both those places cannot separate us from the love of God, nor any other creature. A creature is but a creature, and God is the creator of all. And I'm just saying tonight that no matter how this thing goes on Tuesday, and I hope it goes the way that he talked about, that gives us the best hope for future liberty in our country. If it goes the other direction, young people, you do not have to wave the white flag, throw it all in and say it's all over now. There's nothing that can happen that will separate you from the love of God. Not one thing. It's God's will. If that's God's will, and if that's God's plan, then we live with it. And somebody's phone is going off, so we'll just catch it there. Somebody's phone somewhere. Anybody knows whose it is? Nobody knows. Okay, it's all right. It'll be turned off. But and I hope it goes the way. And by the way, folks, if it goes the way I think most of the people in this room hope it goes, and you throw your hands up and say, "Amen, praise the Lord," we better buckle down and serve God and use the liberty that He gives us. We better not waste it. It'll be heavy on us. It'll be heavy on us to make use of the time that He's given us. Encourage your relatives, encourage your friends, encourage your co-workers to go vote. Share with them as much as you can about the truth. Go vote yourself. Pray and ask for God's will to be done. And let's hope that God gives us a candidate that will ensure, or at least try to ensure, that we have some time left to serve the Lord. Amen. If not, we keep going forward in the secure knowledge, nothing separates us from His love. Nothing. That includes Hillary Clinton and all of her ilk. Nothing separates us from the will of God. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for all your attention and participation today. Heavenly Father, we've come to the end of this very special day, and we rejoice and thank you for the opportunity to work with youth in our area. We enjoyed the Bus Kid Choir this morning. We so enjoyed, Lord, tonight, the little children, the King's kids, the elementary school kids. We enjoyed, Lord, the young people, great singing, the testimonies, the messages that we heard that were put on paper by the pens and pencils of these young men. The special was tremendous. My heart's been stirred. The videos are hard-hitting, but they're truthful. I pray for our country. I pray, God, that you'll be with us. I pray that your will be done. I pray that we will do our part, exercise our right and responsibility to vote. And Lord, we look to you for the result. And God, thank you that regardless of how it turns out, you promise that nothing will separate us from your love. Nothing. So I pray that we'll just make plans to live for you regardless of how the election goes on Tuesday. Bring us back Wednesday, the rest of this week, rejoicing, looking to you, serving you with a happy heart, because one of these days we'll all be with you. We love you for it. In Christ's name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If anybody feels the need to pray tonight, now's the time to come. We'll take just a minute.